With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning and welcome into Grant and Danny. February's 24 days old. 2020. We appreciate you listening as always. What a weekend it was in sports.
Things happen, my friend. I'm getting ready to start, you know, tearing up pieces of paper and throw out all the notes. And what the hell's wrong with the Capitals? What are we doing? They lose to the worst team in the world. Oh, no problem. They beat the Penguins the next day. Go figure it out. Sports, dude. How can you predict such behavior? Now, if you're asking me beforehand, would you trade a loss to the Lowly Devils just to make sure you beat Pittsburgh? I would do that transaction, but the way it happened, goodness gracious, how can you predict?
Also doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
it's not like they
right?
lost to the Devils, so they could beat the Penguins. But yeah, you just look at that one team in town specific to this weekend, and you had maybe the worst loss of your season, the best win of your season. Your Hall of Fame player scored his 700th goal we've been waiting for weeks. And oh, by the way, you made a trade for one of the great goal scorers of his era at one point in time. All over the last 48 hours. So we could do 4 hours on the Caps today if we really wanted to, and we will talk about them plenty. Plus, Max Scherzer made his spring debut. Disappointing. You know, a lot of people make the trip down to West Palm Beach for these weekend games and for an opportunity to see the Nats. And if you went down for that first spring training game to see Scherzer, he pitched a couple innings, or I should say they played a couple innings. He pitches in the game, and then it got banged for rain. So not what you drew up, obviously, but we actually saw Scherzer punching people out with breaking balls in the dirt again.
He's 95, 96, doing
his
business.
Carrying a couple of small dogs around the mound under his arms, which was nice.
Bring me that. Inject it. I want to see him stalking. I want opening day start. I want, you know, October intensity in April from that guy. He's crazy, and he's wonderful, and he's ours. Thank goodness.
We thought we had something brewing here with the D.C. Defenders as the cream of the crop in the XFL, and then they went on the road. And they got Redskins, man.
Are they a different team on the road?
We're about to find out, I guess. They got another road game coming up this weekend. They were really bad yesterday. They got beat by 30 points, 39-9, and they are now 2-1 on the season. But, you know, the joke for a couple of weeks was this is the reprieve from the Redskins. This is the team that's good in D.C. They're going to take good care of us and watch over us. And I'll just say, you know, it's funny. I'm calling the games with Logan Paulson here on The Fan and on radio.com. And it felt like I've watched that Redskins game 15 times.
You've seen that game before.
And I'm not trying to do the shtick of like, oh, they're bad and they lost, so they're the Redskins. But you've seen the games, like you wait all week. You're excited for the Redskins to take the field. There's like an early punt block. Then they fumble a snap. They throw a pick. Like 16 things go wrong in the first 8 minutes. They're down a few touchdowns. And you're going, how did this happen? I thought we were better. I thought we were pretty good. That's what happened yesterday. It was just an eerily similar feeling to what I'm used to as a football fan.
Just summarize it this way. The Washington football team making you believe that it was different before the rug gets pulled. Have you seen that movie before? You ever seen it?
And they probably are pretty good. It was just one of those debacles of a game you got to wash away. But Cardale Jones went into that game, the MVP favorite in the XFL, for whatever it's worth.
Probably no longer the favorite.
4 interceptions in a touchdownless game. He left for being quote-unquote benched. I guess it was just out of reach, so they brought in their backup, Tyree Jackson. But when he stopped playing, they had not yet scored a touchdown in the game. I mean, they were on their way, it looked like, to being shut out. But they have to get right against Tampa Bay this weekend, and then they come home for 3 straight games after that. But the season's already 30% over. I mean, that's one cool thing about the XFL is it's a sprint. 10 games, 10 weeks, no bye weeks, and then the playoffs start. So they are 2-1 through 3. You probably did not watch any of Fury versus Wilder, I'm guessing?
Correct.
Did you see any of the discussion about the fight?
Very little. I sort of knew to move away from the social media type stuff.
So just to get you up to speed briefly, Wilder, heavy favorite, had never lost, 42-0-1. In fact, Tyson Fury had also never lost. So it was the two Goliaths in the heavyweight division over the years. Fury's been, you know, to the end of the world and back, so to speak, by getting up to 400 pounds, mm-hmm. battling immense depression, was out of boxing, and he's come back. And when he came back to fight a couple of years ago, he pretty quickly got this huge bout lined up with Deontay Wilder, probably outboxed him for the majority of the fight, but Wilder knocked him on his butt a couple times, and it was a draw. What a stunning, stunning outcome this was. Fury didn't just beat him, Danny. Tyson Fury dominated Deontay Wilder. Probably the best boxer in the heavyweight division over the last maybe 10 or so years.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest knockout punches ever. He looked like he was ill-prepared and out on his feet like the entire night. Here is my non-educated, not a boxing expert hot take. So he got knocked down early in the fight, I think in the second round, with like a punch behind his ear, basically to the back of the head. I wouldn't say it's illegal because it was like, you know, in football when you hit a guy in the helmet when he's moving.
He crouches
and you're
moving. Down, yeah.
So it was one of those things that all happened quick. He gets hit right behind the ear. It popped his eardrum. Like, he was bleeding profusely from his ear the rest of the fight.
That sounds pretty terrible.
And just having looked it up a little bit, I guess when you have a popped eardrum, you have no equilibrium.
Yeah,
you have no
spatial analysis is off, yeah.
So it looked to me like that was the issue. I have no idea. Here's what I do know. Tyson Fury just basically beat the heck out of him for 7 rounds until his corner threw in the towel. People were shocked. It was a crazy, wow. crazy outcome. But we talked on Friday about how you never really feel like you get your money's worth.
Did you feel like you got it?
Absolutely.
Nice.
I did. It was a good event. It was 2 heavyweights. Big tree falls hard. You know, you can watch all these undercards with these little dudes who are so skilled and so fast, and they just kind of hit each other, and you don't know if they hit you. You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, the guy weighs 136, and it's just like you're just sort of tapping out
this is
Morse
not
code
that.
Or something.
This
yeah.
is like big dudes falling to the ground and getting up, and it's
two great
fighters. That's
why there's glamour in that division, or it used to be anyway.
It was all kinds of good sport this weekend.
But it sounds like it was a smashing success, the boxings. Basically, like in terms of tickets sold,
I'm sure
pay-per-view, like big money, people are now
I think you
doing
can pretty
their...
easily say this was the most anticipated heavyweight fight since Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson at the Pyramid. Shoot, I watched that at my uncle's house in West Virginia. I mean, that must have been 01, I would guess, something like that, 02.
But people are doing the, you know, puffing their shirts out and walking around, parading themselves, letting you know how back boxing is and how important this all was.
They'll always do that.
Right, but I sift through that, and that's why I just signed off of social media
yeah.
altogether. But I'm asking you, do you think this is a now what kind of watershed moment where people, it'll be back in the regular consciousness?
No, I don't, because I think boxing has the same problems you and I talked about on Friday.
Uh-huh.
There's only a few fights like this that everybody wants that we actually get. Like, the average person is not going to watch boxing for a cool fight between a couple dudes who weigh 160 in a few weeks. That's the next big fight on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
People like the heavyweights. They like when an American is fighting in a heavyweight division like Deontay Wilder. I think it's just selectively that's what boxing is now. We get one of these. Maybe it's every couple years.
Right. If you get a big one, we can do this, but otherwise.
100%.
Okay.
That's kind of where I'm at on it. The NFL Combine kicks off this week in Indianapolis. The Redskins, among other teams, are there. In fact, I saw that Mark Maskey had some quotes from Ron Rivera. I'm guessing he went out there early and bumped into Rivera, who's already at the Combine. How about this from the Redskins, by the way? So I'll first tell you that Rivera told Maskey, basically there's nothing foregone on Trent Williams. Anybody saying he's definitely coming back or he's not going to be on the team is probably putting the cart before the horse. But he did say they've had some good discussions. So that's good. I'm just kind of over this back and forth dialogue now. I want a decision made. I've been dealing with this like everyone else, Danny, for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
And I'm good on it. If Trent Williams wants to be a Redskin, then figure out a way to make that happen. If he doesn't want to be a Redskin, then move on from him. I personally would trade him one way or the other. if they're willing to bring him back and play his game and then let him play left tackle because he's good and they'll just deal with it, fine. But I've also seen this weekend that this is going to come down to money, meaning he wants to be paid again now at 32 with a bunch of injuries in his history. I'm not giving him a big contract
right
now.
I mean, there's every sign for me is trade. And I know there's a pulse out there for the opposite, saying, no, you can't afford to get worse at a position you're already bad at. Give him his money. We've been spoiled with the left tackle spot, but these guys don't grow on trees. I get that, but I'm with you. This saga has gone on long enough. You sort of put your stake in the ground with this year-long holdout. You're principled. Congratulations. That's awesome. You could do it. A lot of guys couldn't afford to do it. You sent your message. The people that were your enemies in this thing are gone, meaning the head of the training staff and Bruce Allen. You won that face-off. But for me, big picture, long-term, Washington Redskins, what's best for this team? That's trading Trent Williams.
Apparently, he also doesn't want to pay any of the fines from last year. He wants out of those, and he's basically, I think, going to advocate, from what I can gather, hey, the guys that levied these fines that were the reason I wasn't there, they're gone now.
They're gone now?
So let's just wash those away and see what happens. I'm ready to make the trade. It seems like the Redskins are more reluctant. And look, he's a good left tackle. When we last saw him, he was one of the best left tackles in football. If he could still play at that level, maybe it's worth dealing with all of the frustration that comes along with him. But at the combine, Ron Rivera is obviously going to speak, and so is Kyle Smith. Smith, who is, for all intents and purposes, your acting general manager right now, going to talk at the combine, which is a new wrinkle for the Redskins, of some transparency perhaps. The
this
guy that's actually running their draft room is going to take questions in addition to the head coach in Indy. So that's a nice thing. That's what the other organizations that actually have functional situations in their front office do around the sport. So that is promising. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Next, we mentioned the Caps. We didn't get into them in detail. Alex Ovechkin, goal number 700. Finally, a terrible loss and a great win all over the weekend, and they say they found their game. Do we believe them? That's next on G&D.
Guys, yeah, Danny Ruggier here from my pals at the St. James. There's no offseason, not at the St. James anyway. The DMV's hottest destination for sports, wellness, and active entertainment. The St. James is a sports utopia. There's something for everybody. A personal anecdote, if I will. This is true. Saturday, birthday party at the St. James. Not for me, but for one of my son's friends. So we roll in there. They've got one of the huge field house, including this incredible facility. They've got it cartoned off into basically six or seven different fields. There was lacrosse practice going on. I walked by a bunch of guys playing hockey. There was a basketball tournament. They were setting the courts up for volleyball. So many things going on at that place, and they can accommodate all of it. So my son has a birthday party. He has a blast, has an awesome time at the birthday party. A million different things you could do with that. VR games. You could swim when it's warm outside or even when it's cold because indoor water park and everything. It's incredible. He has fun at the birthday party. I go work out. I go into the sauna. I go take a nice shower, refresh, come back down, pick him up, and we got the heck out of there. An amazing day at the St. James. That premium health club I mentioned offers top-of-the-line equipment and weights, dedicated personal trainers to help you achieve those body goals. Every new member gets two complimentary health assessments with a personal trainer. There's so much under one roof, you got to see it to believe it. Just visit thestjames.com to learn more and schedule the tour. That's thestjames.com. St. James, welcome to your best.
Here comes Ovechkin, one on two. Balls up, passes to center. Kuznetsov giving it back to Ovechkin. His pass off of Kempney. Rebound in front off of Blackwood and comes in behind the goal. Out of Jensen toward Kuznetsov. Ovechkin a shot. He scores! And there it is! 700 goals in his National Hockey League career! The eighth all-time on this 22nd of February, 2020, 700 goals for the Great Eight.
John Walton has heard right here on 106.7 The Fan. I actually heard goal number 700 live on the radio in the car.
Oh, nice.
I wasn't working this weekend. I was heading down to a party for my sister in Fredericksburg. And I'll tell you, Walton crushed it on the call, as did Joe Beninati on NBC Sports Washington. The Caps lose that game. But before we get to the bad loss against New Jersey that had this coaching staff potentially with its backs against the walls and fans very worried, and then the huge win the next day against the Penguins, let's just talk for a moment about Alex Ovechkin becoming the eighth player in the history of the National Hockey League to score 700 goals. He is probably better right now than he was 5 or 6 years ago. He's certainly a more complete player. The whole 200-foot game, engaging on defense, getting back and back-checking harder than he ever has before. He's a better passer than he'll ever get credit for. But what Alex Ovechkin really is, and what they'll put at some point on any piece written about his legacy, is that he's one of the great snipers ever, and he might be the greatest goal scorer of all time. He's got a chance to chase down Wayne Gretzky. Danny, nobody, not one goal scorer of any of the eight who have gotten to 700, ever went from 600 to 700 faster in fewer games than Alex Ovechkin just did. He seems to be trending upward as he gets into the mid-30s now.
He's the greatest goal scorer of all time. Now, people are going to point to other players who have more goals than him and say, how could you possibly say that? And whatever. They'll look at points per game and things. In this era where people score less, Alex Ovechkin has never, and I want to repeat this, has never played in a season where teams average more than 3.1 goals per game. Okay? Wayne Gretzky played 70% of his years where teams scored 3.5 goals per game. How does that translate? They're scoring less throughout Ovechkin's entire career than they were in the 70s, 80s, and parts of the 90s. Everyone ahead of them on this list was from a long time ago. You're not going to see people in this era fly up the list like he does. This shouldn't be happening, but it is. You get this because you're the greatest goal scorer of all time. In an era where scoring is down, it ain't down for him.
Yeah, it is harder to score a goal than it used to be and probably than it has ever been. Now, I know that there is an argument, and it was being made, shockingly, on NBC Sports nationally during the Caps-Penguins telecast.
Stop it, Grant. No.
That is, today's hockey more benefits the offensive player in terms of some of the rules, and that may well be the case.
That's cool.
Doesn't change the fact that goal scoring was easier when Gretzky and the other greats of all time were scoring their goals on the all-time goal scoring list because goalies were wearing paper-thin pads because it looked like, essentially, the net was five times bigger than it is now because of how much padding these guys are wearing, because of the style of play and the quality of the play and the difference in the defensemen who are bigger and faster and stronger than they used to be. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think Ovechkin's the greatest goal scorer who's ever lived. He's certainly the best goal scorer of his era, and he'll have a chance to be number one on the all-time list before it's all said and done with some health. But maybe more importantly, though, they need every goal he's scoring at this juncture as he's now over 40 for the season because the Caps had fallen apart. When they lost to the Devils on Saturday, 3-2, a terrible Devils team, that was right after they'd lost to a Montreal Canadiens team in overtime that they should not have lost to. They got one of a possible 4 points at a time where they needed all four of those points. So they were even with Pittsburgh, despite having played one more game going into yesterday. And I'm texting with all kinds of people plugged in on this team, and they're saying things like, for the first time all season, I think this coaching staff could be in a little bit of trouble. Now, I don't think you blow out coaches in late February when you're about to make the playoffs. It has happened before. There is a precedent. But I don't think that that would be the case. But we were getting to a point where you start to wonder, what's going on? Are they going to find an answer? Does this coaching staff have the answer key that is needed to get this team out of this rut? They had lost to the Coyotes. Probably should have won that game 3-1. To the Golden Knights, you'll at least wear and take that one. They had lost to the Canadiens, to the Devils, 4 in a row, and now you're playing the Penguins in a 4-point game. If you lose that, would have been a fifth straight loss, and it would have spelled potential disaster in terms of trying to win the Metro. Yesterday, they get a 5-3 win. They got a couple of goals, including an empty netter from Carl Hagelin. They battled back with 4 goals in the third. They were actually down 2-1 going into the third period and then tied at 3-3 before pouring it on for a couple goals late. It was a pretty heroic, dramatic game for them. Braden Holtby with 32 saves played really well, but it may have saved their season yesterday.
So, and we will see. Obviously, it's where do we go from here? Because remember, it wasn't that long ago, that comeback dramatic win at Colorado, who's pretty good, right? Where they win that game, we go, here we go, now they're out of their funk. They lost 4 straight.
Yeah, we've said that at least 3 times, I would say, where they won a game that it looked like they were going to lose in the last month, and you thought that that would be the game that got them going. And then within the next 1, 2, 3 games, we realized it was the status quo, business as usual. They were back to kind of playing lethargically and not as well as they should be.
So the hope is that you go, this is what's necessary. We have to be this desperate. We have to have this hunger. We have to finish every play and value the puck. And the way they played against Pittsburgh, who was really, really good, by the way, they're a problem and they're not going anywhere. But that's what it's going to take the rest of the way. Everybody's kind of ramped up their intensity. The Caps need to match that, if not exceed it. So you're hoping that's now the corner that's been turned. The phraseology and some of the things that people are saying post-game, hey, we found our game. Now we're back. We got it good to go. I hope that's correct. I'm in a wait-and-see mode, by the way, before I declare that they're back and everything is solved and everything's fine. I felt that way after that Colorado comeback win, where they were just lethargic for two periods, poured it on, end up winning 3-2 in dramatic fashion. Again, they lost four straight after that. You prove it. You got a chance to. Now go.
Just a thought, too.
Mm-hmm.
Caps-Penguins games are probably my favorite sports viewing as a sports fan right now of anything locally that we have. It's unequivocally the best rivalry. I won't even waste time trying to acknowledge that. I mean, to me, I hate the Penguins so much more than I hate the Cowboys, and these games matter so much more. I know hockey is not as big as football. I get that. If you want to call it niche, that's fine. I don't. But the Redskins and the Cowboys are rarely vying for the NFC East title. Like, they are never playing in the playoffs. These are the two teams that have accomplished the most in the Eastern Conference over the last 10 years. And they're in the same division as geographical rivals. They've got the two best players in the sport over the last decade plus who have been going head-to-head for over a dozen years, mm-hmm. who can't stand each other but respect each other. It's just such a good rivalry. You know, Brendan Dillon, the new defenseman they just traded for, was indoctrinated by getting into a big fight at the end of the second period. Well, I guess it was the first period with Evgeny Malkin yesterday. And that's his welcome to Washington moment.
Sure.
You want to endear yourself to this fan base? Have one good shift or one big moment or punch one penguin in the face.
Yeah.
And that's it. But it's just such a fun rivalry, those nationally televised weekend games. You just can't do much better than that as a DC sports fan.
So it's Pittsburgh, Washington. Then you got to pick whichever one you want for the Nationals, right? Whether it's Mets or Phillies now with Harper.
And the fact, though, that we don't know which one is indicative of the fact that they don't have one like the Caps and the Penguins.
And there's still some historical context for that matters for Redskins, Cowboys. Then I think it's probably right on the rest of the podium is probably Wizards Magic. I'm kidding. Of course, the Wizards don't have a rival. They have no rival here.
That's a good thing for the Wizards. They don't have to worry about rivalries.
Wizards Hornets. Southeast Division.
Danny, you're listening to The Fan. Let's open the phones next. 800-636-1067. Caps fans, where you at? Did they find their game? Did they get right against the Penguins? Is this what they needed to get going, or are they still in trouble? Plus, they made a trade over the weekend. We'll get to that next right here on The Fan. Danny, I mentioned that I was driving down 95 to the Fredericksburg area on Saturday for a party.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this a thing? So you're familiar that on 95 in Virginia, there are lanes between the south and northbound highways called the Easy Pass, like
the express
hot lanes,
right?
But they don't have them going in each direction. They just have the one little thoroughfare in the middle, and it either goes north or south, depending on time of day.
Uh-huh.
Why on a Saturday afternoon at about 2 o'clock would those lanes be coming north and not south? How do they determine that? There's no chance more people are going up to the city.
That's a great question.
Non-work day right. on a Saturday than heading south. From the city.
Is it like custody of the kids? It's like the alternate weekends or something like that? I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea who decides that.
I could
that.
Not believe that. Because we went the long way from our place to get to the entrance point to the Easy Pass hot lanes, thinking, well, we'll just put the Easy Pass in the windshield and we'll zip right down 95, no problem. Now, it didn't end up being a disaster in terms of the traffic. It was certainly more traffic-y than the northbound side, which obviously no one really is coming northbound. I just couldn't believe it, that they had those lanes coming north, not south. I would think that the default on the weekend, on Saturdays or Sundays, would be that those lanes are always heading away from the city. And then you design it so that rush hour in the morning, they're coming up.
Rush hour I can always figure out.
Yes.
I got that, right? I don't know.
Who's coming up to D.C. at 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I don't have a good answer for that. I don't know.
Am I crazy, or wouldn't it be intuitive to think that they'd be all going south?
I could see an argument for either. Where
you
it's
could?
Like, yeah, where it's like, but I just, to me, I don't know how you decide. I don't know who, like, there's somebody who did a traffic pattern.
I think it's extremely simple. You ever seen, like, that little box, and it looks like a little fake camera from 30 years ago, where there's, like, a little wire across the road where my guess is they're just counting how many cars are coming by?
The boop, boop.
Yes, that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You put one of those up and you say, are more people going south or north at 2 o'clock on Saturdays?
There you go.
And the answer is clearly going to be south. And so you would then put those lanes going south at all times on Saturdays at 2 o'clock. Is there more to it than that?
Shouldn't be. It should be intuitive. It should be it should be easy, you're right. But do you, I don't know how many ropes you want across the roadways on highways like that, but yeah, I think you figure it out and then just do what's best. Because I don't know the answer. Again, I don't know. I could see someone saying, well, there are events in D.C. People are always heading into this the big city to do things. Maybe there's a cherry blossom festival. Maybe there's a concert. Maybe they just want to go to the museums. There's the other argument for, now everyone's headed out, dude. It's the weekend.
We're talking about the Caps and the Penguins on Sunday. What a great game that was yesterday. Ryan says, 100%, I'd rather watch Caps-Pens over any other game for D.C. sports. Every game is intense. It's not just a fan rivalry. You can see the players really don't like each other and have the same vitriol as the fans. So I'd agree with that. I think hockey allows for that, though. You know, in hockey, you hate the guy across from you. You'll legitimately get into a fight with him. You will get into either a fist fight or you're going to push and shove after the whistle, or you'll slap each other in the face and you'll face wash each other and try to get each other to fight. I mean, in other sports, you can't really do that. So let's say I play for the Nats or the Redskins and I don't like someone on the Mets. I'm Adam Eaton and Todd Frazier. I can't actually go fight that guy. So hockey just lends itself toward feeling like the players like each other less. But because of the physical nature and the fighting and the fact that you actually can push and shove and there is more of a kind of mano-a-mano feel to the bouts.
There's a certain degree that's allowed of, like, hitting someone with your stick.
But they,
I mean, I know it's elementary, but, like, you can do things that aren't quite up to penalties that are mind-bogglingly annoying.
But I'd also say this, Danny. The Caps do hate the Penguins more than the Nats hate the Phillies. And the reason is, for years, they've taken food off your plate.
Oh, yeah.
They have bounced you out of the playoffs. You finally got them one good time. But they have been the team you're competing with in your division for a championship, in your conference to get to the Stanley Cup.
Absolutely.
The Nats, the Redskins, the Wizards, those other teams, they just don't have a rival like that. Who you can say legitimately it was you or them, year in and year out, and you knew that within your own division. Do you think the Caps got right? I'm saying no as of right now. I love the way they played. I thought it was a much improved performance. But I am waiting to graduate them, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I am waiting, Danny, to say that they are back and they, quote, found their game, as Lars Eller and some other guys who I respect claimed for this reason. I need to see a dominant 60-minute game. They have not had one in weeks. I don't care if it's against the worst team in the league, Detroit, or if it's against the other best team in the league, let's say Tampa Bay right now, or Boston, or St. Louis. I need to see them play 60 minutes. Win like a 4-1, 3-0, 5-2 type game where they absolutely dominate and it's never in doubt. And until they do that, I'm not going to claim that they have found their game.
Yeah, I like
the second period yesterday was bad.
Right.
I mean, they couldn't get a shot. They went 20 minutes with one shot.
Even when they were killing people, even when they had the best record in the sport, this is what they were doing, right? It was periods of lulls. They would flip a switch and it was, wow, look at the ceiling. And it was, it's two sides of the same coin. It's like, do you believe that this is impressive because they haven't even played their best hockey yet? Or is it concerning because they keep having these extended periods where they don't play well, right? And turns out that it was probably the latter more so than the former as they hit this swoon. I will not declare a rival. I will not declare that everything is solved. I need a big sample size. One game will not turn this around for me. I need like 2 weeks where they're just running through people. Then I'll say yes.
How about Ilya Kovalchuk?
Oh, yeah, by the
way. Coming to the Capitals. The same Ilya Kovalchuk you're thinking of, the guy who scored 52 goals twice in his NHL career, led the league in scoring in a 40-goal season back in 03. 594 games, 328 goals for Kovalchuk with the Devils, the Kings, and the Canadiens. 13-year career, 36 years old. My guess is they trade a third-round pick. They barely have to pay him anything. They're paying him under $1 million. A bunch of his money was picked up by his previous employer. I think they slot him on the third line with Carl Hagelin and Lars Eller, and they say, hey, Richard Ponick, that wasn't working the way we wanted it to.
Thanks so much.
You're going to sit a bunch, and occasionally you'll get some time on the third and the fourth line to spell him and to spell a fourth liner. But my guess is Kovalchuk, who can snipe and score some goals, is going to be on the third line with Hags and Eller. Let's go to Alex in Ashburn. Alex, did the Caps fix their problems yesterday?
Boys, thanks for taking the call. I'm going to say maybe. And the reason I say that, I was actually a hard yes, because they did three things yesterday that they haven't done in weeks. Number one, they played a really physical game. I was at the game. I could see the whole action without TV timeouts and all that. They played really well physically. The finisher checks, something they haven't really been doing the whole season. Two, they didn't allow, other than that Geno Malkin, which was an amazing individual effort, his goal, they didn't really allow the long stretch pass, people to get behind them, putting Holtby in a bad situation. Again, that is something that has happened every single game the last, I feel like, 10 or 12 games. And the third thing is, I didn't feel like they were predictable at all yesterday. If you watch any of the, and I know Grant and Ginny, you guys both have, the other teams are really, they're getting sticks in the lanes, they're blocking passes, they know where the Caps are going to be. The Caps have gotten predictable, and they weren't that yesterday.
It's true.
Really, the entire game. No, they did not get a lot of shots, and I agree with your point, Grant, that they went the long period in that second period where they didn't get a lot of shots.
No, but you're right. It looked different offensively. There weren't as many moments where you felt like their riddle had been solved. I'll say defensively, they still gave up a couple of stretch passes and breakaways. You saw one potted against the Devils specifically. But in the Penguins game, there were still a couple, and Holtby stood tall. They got to fix that. Burks in Georgia on Grant and Danny listening on radio.com. What's up, Burke?
Hi, thank you for having me on. So just a great weekend, Ovechkin scoring goal number 700, beating the Penguins, and clearly has a great third period. But the main point is Kovalchuk, so we'll definitely bring scoring to the third line for sure. And then the part that stood out about me the most is Kovalchuk wants to be here. I mean, he turned down the Bruins, who are probably going to win the President's Cup, to come to Washington, since he thinks that is the best place to win the Stanley Cup. You know, and is with Ovechkin, and then now you have a new version of the Russian Five. So, again, thank you for taking this call. I was glad to be on today.
You bet.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Five Russian-born players on the Capitals now. He joins Orlov, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Ilya Samsonov. So Kovalchuk will make it five.
Wonder where he's going to slot in. I mean, right now, third line, but do you think he graduates at any point and they do like a Russian line with like him and Kuzi and Ovi or something like that to mix and match?
The only way I could see that is in a game where you're putting lines in a blender and you do that for a couple of minutes here or there. I don't think as any primary look they're going to do
that. Right
now
it's just third line.
Their top two lines are too good. I mean, Tom Wilson has scored in three straight games. He's on fire right now. He's on that top line with Kuznetsov and with Ovechkin. They've put Backstrom up on that top line occasionally to center that group. But otherwise, he's on the second line. You've got Vrana, who tied his career high with 24 goals yesterday.
You're not going to mess with
those. TJ Oshie's on a heater. Why would you move one of those guys down to the third line, quote-unquote, demote them? I think you're just trying to fix some goal scoring maybe in the bottom six. It was a great day because Sidney Crosby broke his stick in a fit of rage.
He was so upset. Hate to say it.
Tears might as well have been streaming down his face. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Next, Little League teams around the country. Named after major league teams. There are certain Little League organizations that are banning the team name Astros. Should they be? This is G&D. I just saw a video from spring training. Looks like the ballpark of the Palm Beaches, where the Astros and the Nats play. And in the video, there are a couple of Nats fans, presumably on top of the Astros dugout. Third base side of the field. And they've got big poster boards you'd go get to do some kind of project in middle school.
Like what you're using for your science project or something, right?
Basically, yeah. And or you're like putting together your SEA presidential run and you're posting these boards all over the hall.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And they wrote they're not particularly well done. They're like in black Sharpie and it just says like Houston asterisks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got an employee from the ballpark taking the signs from them that they have to hand them over to this woman who takes them and walks away with them and, like, crumbles them up.
It's very Redskins-esque.
So my question is this. Are you not allowed to have signs of any type in those ballparks? Or are you allowed to have signs and they're just not going to allow those signs? Because my thinking would be, if I'm allowed to make a sign that says, Jose Altuve, I love you, or if a girl's allowed to bring a sign that says, Trey Turner, will you marry me? And I see those at Nats Park frequently.
Uh-huh.
If we're allowed to have signs, then we're allowed to have signs.
We can't have mean signs.
But if there's a sign if you're saying something hateful or awful, use the same common sense you use with free speech.
Uh-huh.
Fine. But if you're making fun of the Astros and putting an asterisk next to 2017 World Series champions or saying you cheated or we know what you did in 2017 or whatever it is, we know what you did last summer and you put that on a sign and you're holding it over the dugout so every time they come back to take their hacks, they have to see it when they run in. Why would that be taken away from you?
Great question. If it's a no sign at all policy, I guess. but I'm pretty sure that it's not. Right?
It might be at the spring training ballpark. I don't know. I'm going to dig that up and see if I can figure that out.
Because, I mean, where do you draw the line? Is it, what if it's a depiction of just one guy banging on a trash can? If it's stick figures, is that okay? What about if it just says, hey, Astros, hands on buzzers? Is that okay? I don't know what the rule is. But, it, like, if it's mean enough, then you can't do that to them. Uh-uh. You made this yourself.
The caption, by the way, underneath of the video of this woman taking the sign away, which is pretty good, was... These Astros just stole their first sign of 2020.
Yeah, Astros stealing signs again.
It's pretty good. By the way, my phone just went off. Another robocall.
Robocall.
How many robocalls can one show get within a month?
Tis the season.
What happened?
I don't know.
You and I are getting destroyed by these.
Dar claims that like something nefarious went on. Like there's a there was a rule that lapsed and they didn't like pick it back up, so that let people do robocalls again. I don't know. I just know that every time we're in campaign season, the robocalls seem to pick up.
Yes, but there was a several-year stretch where robocalls almost entirely went away.
I agree with you.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Now, again, the dark claim is that they were, like, illegal and now they're legal again or they're allowed again.
They were made illegal and now they're
legal. We need to make them illegal again.
Yes. Who's in charge of that? Who do we talk to?
I don't know.
Do we have a guy?
Unacceptable, though, the amount of robocalls that are happening again all the time.
And the ones that really get you are the ones that are really similar to your phone. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that's the one that's really scary, is when they get a number that's like your area code.
Yeah, my area code is 540.
Yeah, your
so
first
I see
couple
that
digits.
And I go, oh, I don't have this in my phone, but it's got to be someone I went to high school with. It's got to be someone from back home. Answer it. Completely fake.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Awful.
So real quick on the Astros, we're talking about the signs. How about this? There are now at least two Little Leagues on record, the latest of them in California. The first, I think, was on the East Coast and down south. And I think there's one in Pennsylvania who's passed this ruling now as well from what I read this morning. But there are two plus that are now discussing this and getting rid of the idea that any team, you can pick your team. That would mean name whatever you want. So here in Virginia, I played Little League Baseball.
Uh-huh.
I was in King George. We were the Little League Braves. But the logo, the emblem on the Little League jersey was basically the Atlanta Braves. It was like the tomahawk, chop, what do they use? Give me the word I'm looking for.
You had a tomahawk.
Yeah, but the emblem was different. But yeah, but it was like it was a Braves look, like the lettering, the stitching that they had.
Uh-huh.
We would play against the Reds.
There's Grant Paulson here for the Braves.
We play against the Mets.
Yep.
Your boy was getting ready for an episode of Saved by the Bell as soon as he was done playing, and Screech was headed to the Max.
Here's Paulson
trying to get Jesse to go to prom with me. You can't be the Astros anymore in a couple Little Leagues. Where you at on that?
Congrats to those Little Leagues for doing more than Major League Baseball. That's kind of where I'm at. Good. Honestly. I mean, at least they're sending a message.
Never again, or are they on punishment? Like, in 30 years, are Little Leagues still not going to be letting you use Astros? Yeah, I doubt it.
In 30 years, like, someone's going to be like, no, I really love Bagwell and Biggio, and I like Mike Scott from the 80s, who threw a split-fingered fastball. You know, Derek Bell had a great season for them. He had a good two-strike approach. Richard Hidalgo played down there. I'll switch
or
it up.
Or maybe
the
they win
again.
Two more titles clean and everyone says they were just really good.
They're actually just great. But seriously, I like it. I like it. Because what does it matter, really? It's a futile gesture. There's plenty of teams to choose from. You're not having 30 Little League teams in any
Agreed.
District.
Normally, I don't know. I would guess it's like 8 to 12.
Right.
So you don't have to use them. But it's different. To me, I would just say we're not using the Astros this year, not make a big thing about it. To actually come out and say, we're getting rid of the Astros.
Because we're standing for something.
I guess maybe one of the teams had been Astros for a while, and so people would notice that they can't be the Astros anymore. But I don't know why it's got to be a big story. I almost feel like this is a way for some of these Little Leagues to get a little run.
Yeah, and I got no problem with that.
Like, they're like, if we don't do the Astros, maybe someone will write a story about it.
Yeah, we'll get in the local paper.
I just feel like, get rid of it. No problem. That's cool. I don't know that we need a big rule saying no Astros. Just use the other. You got 30 to choose from.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. But I don't mind that. Again, Little League needs funding. I mean, it's all volunteer, right? Everybody from you know, you pay the dues so that the umpires can get paid, and you pay for a few baseballs, and just a bunch of dads making sure you get your elbow up. You know what I mean? I have no problem with it.
There is something to be said, too, if we're really trying to send a message and educate children.
Uh-huh.
From a sports standpoint on what is good and what is bad.
Right.
This team cheated. This team did wrong. They won a championship they should not have won.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets to emulate them. Nobody gets to idolize that organization for as long as we do this because they're the bad guy.
Yeah, so little Keegan, take that Astros jersey off and put on a Brewers jersey. I got no problem. I think it's good. I like they're taking a stand. Major League Baseball, the stand they're taking is taking away signs that people are making that are trying to be funny.
In D.C., for some reason, I think you played in McLean,
mm-hmm.
but they don't use team names, right? They use, like, local organizations.
Yeah, for us in McLean, they just put the name of the sponsor, and that was
like
the name.
Paulson Plumbing, yeah, we were Rouillet Heating and Air.
We were Naval Air. We played against, you know, Clark Construction. And
well, now you guys are the Individuals.
Yeah, our team right now on 101 Basketball, the Individuals.
You got to do a little better.
I tried so hard. I tried to explain to everybody.
Please just have a team name.
Everyone on this team goes to the same school. We could be that school.
You know what you should
do?
The
Individuals.
You should pitch Astros.
It is. The team name's available.
It's better. That might be, even in today's climate, better than a team name.
The Individuals.
Hey, Coach, who are we playing this weekend? Oh, we're playing the Individuals from over in D.C.
The Individuals.
J.P. Finley is an individual. He'll join us next. NBC Sports Washington's Redskins Insider from the NFL Combine this week, which gets started today. Get the latest on the Skins, their plans with Trent Williams and Quentin Dunbar, and who they're going to be eyeing at the Combine on Grant and Danny next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.